You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. Don't call it a comeback.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I'm sorry for yelling in your ear. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience1 in the middle. And across from me, as always, Mr. Jordan Durkin Wahlberger. Jordan, number one, tell the people where to find you.
Well, you can find me at Nonstop MMA. Eddie, you can find us both at Fight Night ATX.
And now tell the people why you shaved that horrible mustache that I couldn't wait to see.
Well, I shaved it back on Sunday. I had a mustache. I was out of town, as you know, the last couple weeks. And I decided, while I wasn't at work, to grow a mustache out. And, well, actually, I grew a beard out, but I just shaved into a mustache. And it was beautiful. It was glorious.
It was very Patrick Cummings-esque.
It wasn't quite as good as Patrick Cummings.
No, that would take more time.
I mean, that was a glorious mustache right there.
Yeah. And I was really looking forward to seeing that.
Well,
it was apologize. The first thing I did when I saw you this evening.
You were disappointed.
Yeah. I'm just like pointing at the lip, like, what the hell, man?
I'm sorry.
You just let me down. But, you know, nice Macho Man shirt.
No, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie, we are back, my friend. It looks like, what have you been doing? I feel like it's been a while since I've seen you.
Man, I went to the beach Saturday.
What beach would that be?
Drove to Corpus, Bob Hall Pier.
Okay.
It was windy as all hell.
Never good.
This used to be an umbrella.
That does not look like an umbrella.
By the end of the day.
It looks like a flag.
Exactly. It was okay. Just our Game of Thrones sigil.
Okay. Just, hey, anything happen on Game of Thrones that pertains to our, you know, our prediction?
I'd like to tell you, but I don't want to give away spoilers for people who are like, no, I haven't watched yet.
Okay.
Number one, what are you doing? Go watch it. Number two, there's stuff going on.
Okay, so.
There's lots of stuff happening.
So, I don't even remember what our deal was. Was there a person named Xerxes?
Cersei.
Okay. But something has happened towards what we made a prediction on.
Yes, this whole season is going to be the war for the throne and the war for the against the White Walkers.
That's fine, I'm done. Okay.
And it turns out I never actually voiced my prediction.
No, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, don't need to.
Just to put it on there.
No, don't need to.
I say at the end of this season,
nope.
Daenerys, but not at the end of the show.
Okay, great. All right, Eddie.
Did that hurt you? You okay?
No, just boring. So, Saturday night, Eddie, I was flying back from Las Vegas to Austin, Texas. I was on a plane just in time to watch Chris Weidman and Kelvin Gastelum fight on Fox.
Missed the rest of that card?
Well, I watched some of it. Great thing is that I was on... Actually, I tweeted a couple pictures that I was watching it on the airport on the Fox Sports Go app.
Oh, yeah?
So I watched Darren Elkins versus Dennis Bermudez. I watched that whole thing.
You appreciate the tattoo in all its glory.
I mean, it's crazy. I watched John Volante and Patrick Cummins in a payway in the airport. And then on the plane, I was on Southwest, so I could get my free Dish Network or free TV courtesy of Dish Network.
Oh, cool.
I was able to watch Fox. So I watched the whole fight.
Nice.
Didn't miss any of it of those last three fights. I did miss, however, Jimmy Rivera and Thomas Almeida.
That was a good one.
So talk about it. Tell me about it.
Jimmy
Rivera, I think, is it now 20 fights in a row? Is it 24 fights in a row?
I think it's 20.
Okay.
But to be honest, I was at the beach all day Saturday. Drove back, got there like Saturday night.
I love how you tell me like, oh, you missed a good one. And then I ask you about it.
Listen,
like,
I'm telling you why it's foggy.
Well,
I watched most of the main card.
So you're saying you enjoyed it in the moment.
Yes, I enjoyed it in the moment. I watched most of the main card on Fast Forward. You kind of ruined things for me when I told you not to text me.
I didn't ruin it for you.
And you told me that I was up one going into Battleground. So after Patrick Cummings won, I knew what happened in the main event.
Yeah, I did realize that. After I texted you and you said, I'm only in the prelims, and it was like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I figured by then you would have figured it out. You would have gone and watched it by then.
It's a long drive back, man.
But I did realize when you said I'm only in the prelims,
I had like
that you will figure it out by then.
Tons so of sand apologize. Everywhere. I had to wash out of my teeth. It was everywhere.
That's weird. You're a weird dude, Eddie.
Hey, you try to talk on the beach when it's that much wind, you're just going to be eating sand.
All right, so Jimmy Rivera now ranked 4th. I think he was ranked 4th before at Bantamweight. Called on Dominic Cruz right after the fight.
I do remember he looked really good in the fight. I scored it for him in my haze. But yeah, he looked really good.
Did you know we were going to come and talk about this today? Like, did you think, like, hey, maybe I should watch this fight?
I did watch it. I also deleted it. I was falling asleep. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. And I watched the entire main event on just, like, triple speed because I knew what the end was. I just wanted to see how it happened.
All right, let's go back. Let's go back to, first
Thanks
off,
to you.
Eric Anders. I asked you this question.
Oh, that's the kid from Alabama.
I know. I said, yes. You said, I like this guy. And then I said, well, I mean, do you really like him? He was the guy that caused the fumble on Garrett Gilbert with like a minute and a half left or something, or 3 minutes left in the 2009
I'm
National Championship
I'm more upset
game.
At the lineman who didn't block him than him doing
his job.
He
was wide open coming in.
Exactly.
So my brother-in-law, Landry, he is an Alabama fan. He actually served his mission.
How's this happen?
Yeah, he served his mission in Alabama.
Oh. Okay.
He was there in 2009.
He got brainwashed.
He did get brainwashed. And obviously, you know, he's a big fan of Alabama. And so when he came out, we were watching it together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I like this guy. This guy, Alabama football player? He was happy. I'm like, oh, this is not my kind of guy. And as long as he didn't say Roll Tide at the end of his interview, I was okay with it. But Natal.
Oh, you like his nickname too? Your boy?
Oh, yeah. Your boy was good. But, I mean, when Sapo got hit and he went all the way face first in the cage. I mean, it was incredible. It was, you know, his power that he had. He looked good the entire fight.
I was like, what am I watching? It's like Keystone Cop stuff right here.
Yeah, the guy is a great prospect. I'm actually really excited about him. Yeah, he finished that fight early on. But Patrick Cummins and John Valente, that was a split decision win.
Mm-hmm. Got a little nice and bloody.
Did you see that going that way? Did you think that, you know, it was interesting. John Valente just didn't do much. He rocked, I think it was at the end, the beginning of the third round. He hits Patrick Cummins and then doesn't do anything else. Like, doesn't capitalize. He did a whole lot of nothing in that fight.
And if you do nothing, guaranteed Cummings is going to find a way to get you down.
I mean, Patrick Cummins didn't do much either. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't that exciting.
Right. But Cummings will find ways to
get
you
down. Were you surprised with the result of that fight?
No, I picked Cummings, and not just because I like the
barista. You picked Cummings
before. Yeah.
But,
in the
after
moment.
After watching. Oh, wait.
No, just because.
So on fast forward speed, could you tell any difference?
Not much.
Okay.
But, Cummings had the takedowns, so you knew that was going to score more than just a random couple punches or whatever Valente was able to
score. Did you see Cummings' face?
Yes.
And did you see him at the doctor?
No, I did not see that.
He actually just put a tweet out. I believe it was today.
Let me tell you.
No, this is back from Monday.
Sunday, I woke up on my couch at like almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
He wrote, all the King's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He just has that, like, he gets a black eye every single fight.
And it just blows up.
I mean, that mustache, though, on him. So you go to
jealous.
You go to the coat. Yeah, I am. Of course I'm jealous. I can't grow a mustache.
Why
like
couldn't you
that.
Go to work with that thing?
Well, you know.
Come on.
So Darren Elkins versus Dennis Bermudez. That fight, I thought the judges got it wrong. I thought Dennis Bermudez did more. I thought he looked in control of the fight. I was surprised when they gave Darren Elkins the split decision.
Not I was surprised when they put this as a co-main event. But
well, I mean, Eddie, the card came back with the lowest overnight rating of any UFC on Fox, and overall the third lowest rating overall. So,
well, there's no real star power in that.
I mean, Chris Weidman, who broke Anderson Silva's leg, is the only real star. Him and Kelvin Gastelum.
And he's on a 3-fight losing streak.
And he was on a
Kelvin Gastelum
was
as good as
was
yeah,
on a
at the
fight
time.
Streak.
And Gastelum, as good as he was or is,
he's a 170 pounder.
He was on like a 3-fight winning streak, but he was a 170 pounder moving up.
No, I get it.
Didn't really want to be there, and it just isn't a name. So Fox is used to having like some big names, maybe some Demetrius Johnson, maybe some
also super low ratings.
But they're used to seeing him. Maybe some Paige VanZant or Michelle Waterson. There are no women on this card. At all. So Fox is used to having other things, you know, more drama, more personalities into it. Plus, it's the middle of the summer. As hardcore a fan as I am, even I DVR'd.
I mean, it wasn't competing against, well, it's because you were driving home from the beach.
Right.
It wasn't competing
people
against
are doing
anything
things.
Else, though. That's
it's
true.
It's the middle of summer. People are doing things.
All right. So Chris
and
Weidman.
And it's sandwiched between a couple of good pay-per-views. And drowned out by all
wait, the... Wait. What pay-per-views was it sandwiched by? What good pay-per-views was it sandwiched by?
Well, when I say sandwiched, I'm counting 211 and 213.
you're saying when you meant good.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, 211 was good.
Okay, that's fine.
Same 211, 213, and all the...
Not good.
Sorry, I meant 214. And all the Mayweather-McGregor hype.
I know.
It's just
I
drowned
know
out. It's just Yeah, it's
I
just
know
drowned.
What you meant. All right, so Chris Weidman looks very good and then gets dropped at the end of the first round.
Man, you know, I know Gastelum was moving up from welterweight, but I was really surprised at the size difference.
Even in weigh-ins, you look at them in weigh-ins and you could see the distinct difference.
Yeah, they should not be fighting each other. It was like almost as bad as Anderson Silva and Daniel Cormier. It reminded me a lot of Tito and Shlemenko in Bellator. Mm-hmm. It's like they shouldn't be fighting each other. We had mentioned last week that there was a size difference. We just thought Gastelum's speed and wrestling ability would make up for it. Well, it did not.
What we really thought, because we talked about how we thought that the wrestling from each of them would negate the wrestling.
Right.
That was not the case at all, as I believe that Chris went for like he got seven takedowns, his most takedowns ever,
mm-hmm.
and it just proved how hard it is to keep Kelvin Gastelum down. Now, at the end of the first round, Kelvin Gastelum said that he hoped he had 30 more seconds and he thought he could finish the fight.
I think he's right.
Weidman comes back. You know, Weidman, he felt it was a flash knockout, but he was clear-headed, and he didn't feel as, you know, he felt like good pretty quickly, especially in the corner. You hear Matt Serra, you hear Ray Longo talk about it, that they were able to identify that he was fine.
Right.
He had quickly recovered.
Yeah, he did recover pretty quickly.
And so, but he grabbed on the Gastelum, and, you know, 30 more seconds or not, he wasn't able to capitalize on that moment, but that could have swung him that first round. I haven't seen an official scorecard. It doesn't matter.
Right.
But, you know, that could have swung him that first round.
I think it would have, but and I do think in the 30 more seconds, Gastelum could have finished it. Just Weidman did recover quickly, but he was still in a kind of defenseless posture.
He was in a tough spot.
Yeah.
I'm glad that the ref gave him the time to not call it because he was kind of in a defensive spot there.
Yeah.
Second round, Weidman comes out, looks very good, continues with those takedowns. Into that third round, same kind of mentality. I really found it interesting because you could hear Matt Serra on the broadcast, and you could hear him, you know, call for that choke mm-hmm. when he was on him, and he's like, go for it, you know, telling him like the move to do, and kind of textbook exactly how it went. He moved over and he got that arm choke, and it looked very good, and it got very tight.
Yeah,
a great win for Chris Weidman, obviously very excited, you know, going crazy,
a little too excited.
Well, I mean, you got to think, A, you're in your hometown, literally in your hometown, you're on a 3-fight losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big moment for him.
It is, but to all of a sudden go from that to saying, I'm the best in the world, I want a title fight, I'm like,
well,
rein it in, Chris.
What was a little bit odd is when he said, everyone knows I'm the real champion. And that's a little bit tough that, you know.
You got TKO'd.
He shouldn't he lost the title, though, on a choke because he went for that, I think it was a spinning elbow or spinning punch, or was it the high leg that he threw?
Oh, man, it's been a while.
I can't remember. But he did something that he normally doesn't do. And Luke took advantage of it and took him down and mm-hmm. tapped him out. He loses to Romero. He's actually looking pretty good against Romero.
Then got
he ducks down concussed. And he gets knocked with a knee.
That still scares me.
Gegard, he was looking fine as well. Yes, I understand that, you know, a few things could have gone your way. You'd be, you know, still be the champion.
But that's could be said for anything.
But to go out and say that everyone knows that you're still the champion, I don't think anyone really thinks that Chris Weidman was still, you know, still deserved to be champion or was confused that Chris Weidman wasn't champion.
Yeah, I would definitely say he's still top 10 easily.
Top 5.
Top 5 is debatable because he's sitting at, what, number 5 right now, right?
He is sitting at number 5.
Yeah, so that part's debatable, but who are you going to say below him that would beat him? And that's when I wouldn't just go,
well,
okay, number 5
works. You could definitely say someone above him who he would beat, maybe the champion. Someone who also took umbrage with what his words were. When they called him out and said he's the champion, Michael Bisping and Chris Weidman went off on each other, calling each other out. Michael Bisping was talking about Chris's father.
Chris was talking about Bisping's eye.
Yep.
That was kind of low. But, you know, we know Chris Weidman likes to glorify other people's injuries, so that's not a new thing.
Let's look at this. Let's look at this middleweight division. Michael Bisping, obviously the champion. The UFC again today in the press conference said that the George St. Pierre Michael Bisping ship has sailed.
He said
it today, and that the winner of Damian, I don't know, the winner of Damian Maia and Tyron Woodley will get GSP. That's what he said. Dana White said today that they're actually talking this week.
Like, does GSP know that?
GSP was actually on Michael Bisping's show this week saying he wants to still fight him. But regardless,
right.
Robert Whittaker got a knee injury. Could potentially be out until 2018.
No, they said Wednesday night on UFC Tonight that Whittaker's out till 2018.
Okay, so he's out till 2018.
Yes.
Yoel Romero, coming off a loss.
Yes.
Luke Rockhold, he's fighting.
David Branch.
David Branch.
Yeah.
September 19th, or 16th, excuse me.
Yes.
Jacare Souza, coming off a loss. Chris Weidman, coming off a win. Could Chris Weidman get the next title shot at middleweight? Because Michael Bisping hasn't fought since last October when he fought Dan Henderson.
Right, and he's recovering from an injury himself.
And he's not going to wait.
But he's preparing to be back by...
later this year.
I'm sure he
November.
Wants the MSG, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's not going to wait until 2018 to fight. So we're going to get a fight with Michael Bisping.
Will this make Chris Weidman officially the men's version of Holly Holm? You beat the legend, and then you get a title fight coming off three losses?
Wow.
It's pretty... There's a comparison to be made there.
There's not a... She didn't beat the legend twice, because Chris Weidman beat the legend twice.
Yeah, it's debatable.
And then Chris Weidman defended his title over and over again.
Over?
Machida, Belfort, Anderson. Over and over and over again. Three times he defended it.
Okay. I'll give it to you, technically.
I mean, he did. Over and over is twice.
He did.
Over and over and over, that's three times.
I think over is twice.
Oh, well, let's go over and over. That's more than twice then.
This is the dumbest thing I've
Regardless,
done all week.
Chris Weidman could get a title shot.
He could.
Again, Chris Weidman is not coming off, not getting a title shot after three losses.
Yeah.
He just won.
Yeah, he did. He is now 1-4.
So take your Holly
last,
Holm comparison.
He's 1-3 in his last four.
Take your Holly Holm comparison and throw it away.
1-3, 0-3, it's close.
But he legitimately could.
And, of course, you know the Sarah Longo camp. They're pretty tight with Dana. It's not like one of those contentious relationships that Dana White's known to have. So that could literally happen.
I mean,
that could easily happen.
Your only two options? Honestly, you're going to love this. Anderson Silva. That's not going to happen, but it could be Anderson Silva. Was his last fight against Derek Brunson?
Yes.
Okay. Anderson Silva. Chris Weidman. Or you have to do GSP. There's no other option. Or Yoel Romero coming off a loss.
And that's why Weidman is talking so much. Because, honestly, the Silva fight would probably sell better.
The rematch?
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've got highlights to run back. You've got the GOAT against the biggest talker that everyone loves to hate. Chris Weidman, he's still just kind of vanilla.
I mean, are you really going to be sad when Michael Bisping beats Anderson Silva again?
Anderson Silva should retire.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think you give title shot.
I've been saying that for
Please
a year.
Please don't give a title shot to Anderson Silva. No, you got to go GSP.
It could happen.
You got to go GSP.
They already did it with Dan Henderson.
Yeah,
UFC's not above giving a 40-year-old to Michael Bisping because he's a great talker, and he's going to hype the fight.
All right, so that's what could happen in the middleweight division. As far as Kelvin Gastelum, he says he's going to go back to welterweight.
And we used to say that, no, stick around in middleweight. You're doing great. But now we see what he means. He is too small for that weight division.
Kelvin mentioned that he's planning on moving to Las Vegas to go to the Performance Institute. They have dietitians there, and they can work with him.
I was going to say, if he learns to eat like a professional, he can be at welterweight.
That's two people, because Uriah Hall, he was also, and I think in that same camp, they actually both used to work out at Train to Reign back in the day with Mark Munoz's gym.
Okay.
But I think they're both with Master Cordero.
Then Mark Munoz closed the gym.
Yeah, so they're with Kings MMA, and they're both, so Uriah Hall, I talked to him last week, and he's actually based out of Las Vegas now.
Right.
Dana encouraged him to go there. And now Mark Munoz. I don't think they're still leaving Rafael Cordero. I think they're just going to get some training and, get some good stuff out there in Vegas.
Well, that's what it's for, right? They spend all that money. You may as well do something to get your fighters to actually make the actual weights that they're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's funny.
At.
So the Performance Center is literally like a mile away from my in-law's house. And we were driving to the airport on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Dang it. We should have gone by the Performance Center today.
Did you go by and just like look through the windows?
No, I was driving. I was like, you know what? I was talking to my wife. I said, hey, you know what? We should have gone to the Performance Center today. But just watch. If you go by there and you see a green Lamborghini out there, Connor's there.
Oh, yeah.
And then Saturday afternoon, Connor, sure enough, posts the picture of him and his green Lamborghini outside of the Performance Center. I was like, no, I knew it. I knew he'd be there
day. And did your wife just roll her eyes at you?
She laughed. She thought that was pretty funny. So, yeah. All right, man. Well, that's UFC on Fox in Long Island. A good event for Long Islanders and for New Yorkers.
Well, at least at the end.
But the whole event, though, it had a lot of local talent on it, which that was good for
mm-hmm.
them. You were accurate in that a lot of, Dennis Bermudez, John Volante, Ryan LaFleur, a lot of them had tough nights, and those were the local guys.
Yeah.
Chris Weidman brought it home, got the W, and maybe positioned himself to be the next contender for the UFC middleweight title.
Like I've always said, it's good for the home crowd to have their guy win. Like, whenever UFC goes to, like, different countries and things, I want the home guys to win because that makes the sport bigger in that area, which grows the whole thing internationally.
Well, let me tell you one thing.
Now, so, Long Island already knows what MMA is.
Let's pull the curtain back a little bit on. So when you go to a WWE event, you go to like a Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens, if a bad guy, in quotations, this has been my experience, if a bad guy finishes Monday Night Raw
mm-hmm.
with going out on top or getting a win or an upper hand on the good guy, they always have a dark match afterwards where the good guys win. And they send the crowd home happy.
Yeah, or at least have some kind of run-in or something after the cameras are off.
So, after the cameras go off. So this was a good opportunity that even though leading up to it, in the eyes of the New Yorkers and the Long Islanders, the bad guys won.
Yeah, it had been a rough night.
They all went home happy after Chris Weidman got that win.
Exactly.
So, all right, guys. So that's fight night. We're going to mix things up a little bit. All right? We're going to talk a little take it or leave it next. We've got a big UFC 214 card, so we're going to end the show in the last two segments talking about that. But you are listening to Fight Night here on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We will be right back. All right, Eddie, we are back on Take It or Leave It. You're listening to Fight Night here on 104.9 The Horn.
Jordan, I've got to take it or leave it for you.
Okay, I'm excited. Let's talk about it.
Are you excited? Training camp has started. The Hall of Fame game is in a week and a half. The Cowboys are on NFL Network right now. Take it or leave it, you're excited.
I'm not excited. I'm not excited for training camp. I'm not excited for preseason football.
What's wrong with you?
And just like that, I am not excited about watching Mac football like you do. I can get enough. I know you can't get enough.
What's wrong with you?
I can get enough.
You communist? What? Where are you from?
You know, I like regular season. You know what I like? I like meaningful games.
It's because all your life, the NFL teams have been moving away from you.
That is true. They have been moving away from me, and now they're all moving back.
As an Oilers fan, I understand.
But, Eddie, I like meaningful games. And you know what?
Hey, in college football, they all mean something.
No, not in the MAC. The MAC does not mean anything.
To them, it does. That's great. They have a championship game, yeah.
Okay.
It means something to them, yeah.
Pros, it means something. Yeah, that is Cam Newton just flexing it out.
Why is he naked?
All right, Eddie. So this is Take It or Leave It. This is when we talk about subjects, the latest news that's going on in MMA.
Bring it on.
I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to tell me, do you take it? It's going to happen. Or do you leave it? It's not happening. All right?
Let's do it.
Now, I just went through this whole explanation of Take It or Leave It, but we're actually going to start not with a Take It or Leave It. All right?
Okay.
This week, Pat Miletich was on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani. And he mentioned that Matt Hughes is out of his coma, surprising doctors, and is expected to make a full recovery. So not a take it or leave it, because we're all going to take it, and we hope the best for you, Matt, and keep pushing, keep working hard.
Right.
Take that, Matt, and we want you to keep winning and win this battle as you try to come back from this head trauma.
And there's literally no one tougher on earth than old fighters.
Yep.
Because they fought when they were fewer rules, less money, and dude, the train's not going to take him out.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we appreciate that, and obviously, best wishes to Matt Hughes. All right, Eddie, now let's get into Take It or Leave It.
Let's do it.
Last week, we mentioned Brock Lesnar. The Brock Lesnar hype has not gone down, Eddie.
How does that happen?
It's exciting. Dana White says he has not talked to Brock Lesnar. Regardless, that does not affect what we're hearing. So Brock Lesnar still has not entered into USADA testing.
Right.
As of today, but this week, John Jones was asked on a UFC Facebook live chat, would he be interested in a fight with Brock Lesnar? He was actually asked that at the press conference this week as well. He said today that he would deal with Daniel Cormier and then deal with Brock Lesnar. But John mentioned that he would love to fight Brock, be a great challenge, probably wouldn't try to wrestle with him. Brock responded to the Associated Press that he would fight Jones anytime, anywhere. Now, Eddie, my take it or leave it is not, does that fight happen? We live in a world where Floyd Mayweather is fighting Conor McGregor.
If it makes dollars,
it makes sense. So this fight could definitely happen. Take it or leave it, John Jones defeats Brock Lesnar in the octagon if they fight.
I will take it.
Take it. How does he get it done? He's not going to be able to shuck off Brock Lesnar's takedowns. He's not going to be gaining.
Don't be so sure.
Okay.
He's a lot faster, a lot younger. Brock is over 40 now.
Mm-hmm.
He's feeling it. There's going to be more USADA, in, especially with these two.
That's fine.
Yeah. So he's going to stay on the outside. He's got much better stand-up. He's going to use kicks and jabs. He's going to keep his distance.
Remember,
Brock is just going to try and take him down.
Brock is going to try to take him down and smother him. Brock is going to have 40 pounds at least of muscle on him. Okay. I'd like to see it.
But Brock, he's got to catch him first.
He does have to catch him. All right. This week, the Association of Boxing and Combative Sports approved the addition of four new weight classes, Eddie. They approved adding 165, 175, 195, and 225 pounds in the new unified rules of MMA. All right? Now, this doesn't mean that the UFC or Bellator or any other organization has to create a new title or a new division. But take it or leave it, the UFC will adopt one of these weight classes in the next 3 years and build a division around it.
You know, in the WME IMG era, they need champions, they need headliners. So I will take it, and I'll tell you which one.
Okay.
175. Actually, it should be more like 177, but 175 is closest.
Why do you think 175? Because I will take it as well, but I actually think it's going to be 165. Because I think the difference between 155 and 170, there are so many good fighters at lightweight at 155. I think it's the deepest division in the UFC. There are more top lightweights in the UFC than any other division. And I think that you would have a good number of lightweights moving up. Kevin Lee talked about this recently, that you could move. You could create a top 10 at 165 very easy before you make it any other division. So 175, it would be a super welterweight.
Right. I just think 170 has more tweeners. There are more people like kind of falling between welterweight and middleweight, like Kelvin Gastelum, like Johnny Hendricks, like even Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
That would fall in between that. So I think there's just more guys that don't feel too comfortable in either one.
Yeah.
Whereas there are guys that they all feel comfortable in 155, so they don't actually necessarily need to go up. Obviously they could. Anyone can go up. I just think there's more tweeners between 170 and 185.
Yeah. I mean, a 225 would actually be pretty interesting as well. You have someone like a John Jones who could be a 225 champion very easily.
And actually that 195 is interesting because that's a big jump from middleweight to
185 to 205. That's what's one of the bigger ones.
Exactly.
So, all right, Eddie. The Rock this week. Muscle Fitness brought up an old article about The Rock getting into MMA. Now, The Rock retweeted and said that he actually considered about 10 years ago taking 2 years off of MMA or of acting, going to Jackson's MMA camp in Albuquerque. Take it or leave it. With Greg Jackson in The Rock's corner, The Rock is a top 10 heavyweight in the UFC today.
Today?
I mean,
today The Rock is 45.
Okay. How about 5 years ago? So
if you say 10 years ago,
the 10 years when he started, 2 years after that, he starts fighting. Give him 3 years to start fighting. 5 years ago, that
if
plan happens.
If he was under 40, I'd say he could be top 20 easily.
Didn't ask that.
Today, no. Leave it.
Okay.
I love The Rock. He's great. He's funny. He's everywhere. He's even in this new Siri thing on Twitter that I saw, but he's too old for that.
Could you imagine The Rock and John Jones just hanging out?
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
Yes, it could.
All right.
Can you imagine John Jones getting The Rock in trouble?
Yeah. Like all right, Eddie.
Bobby.
First off, I need to show you a little something.
I mean, keep your pants on. Oh, good Lord.
All right, Eddie.
Wait, I gotta tweet this. This is ridiculous. Man. Okay, put it back up there. If you can't see this, people, but Jordan is wearing Ric Flair socks.
Ric Flair socks.
Ric Flair on his feet.
Speaking of Ric Flair socks, ESPN announced today that the 30 for 30 documentary on Ric Flair called Nature Boy will debut on November 7th. Eddie, take it or leave it, all right? This documentary will be the most styling and profiling, limousine riding, jet flying, kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, son of a gun documentary of all time.
And this documentary is having a hard time holding these gators down.
What do you think?
Woo, yes.
You agree?
Take it.
Yeah. Okay.
Dude, wrestling fans are going to be slobbering all over themselves to watch this thing. You know how big ESPN gets when it's involved in wrestling.
I know. Also, you got to remember that there's the Andre the Giant documentary that's coming out from
and
the Ringer.
And ever since, I forget who put it. Started putting Ric Flair quotes in the music. All the kids are into Ric Flair, and they love that quote about the Gators and stuff. So, yeah, it's it'll be huge.
Yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries are fantastic. Coupling that with the... Oh, my gosh. What is coming, Eddie?
Hey, watch your feet, man. Don't get your socks run over.
What is that?
This week's obligatory ride on the Mayweather-McGregor hype train.
Well, I guess there's no better time.
I guess they're tired of hearing you talk about Ric Flair.
I think it's time to talk about Mayweather versus McGregor. We only have, 30 more days of this.
Oh, good Lord.
I can't wait. So USADA has come out, Eddie, and said that they will test both Conor and Floyd robustly. That's the word they used, robustly.
Ooh, robustly.
Now, Conor is still going to be in the UFC training and testing pool, but he also has agreed to additional testing in conjunction with this fight. So he's got kind of double the testing. So both him and Floyd will be robustly tested.
So they better stay hydrated.
They better stay hydrated. All right, so
it's
Paulie...
Like twice a week, once a day.
I hope so. Paulie Malignaggi,
easy
I finally
you,
got
sir.
It right this week. Yeah. He continues to spar with Conor McGregor. Now, this week, while speaking to Jim Rome, he mentioned that while McGregor has above-average power, he doesn't believe that he has that oh-my-goodness KO power. So he thinks that while, it might be enough to get it done, he doesn't have, the greatest power. He has really good power, but not just crazy power.
Well, he's a lightweight, not Mike Tyson.
So we'll see these 10 ounces. But he said he's had 140-pounders before with that big power.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the more comfortable Conor gets, the more he can unleash the power.
Okay.
But right now in sparring, he probably isn't.
Unleash the power.
Isn't able to.
All right, so the suit that Conor wore in L.A. when I was right next to him.
The Forget You suit?
Yes.
Forget Me Not?
You can actually buy that suit now, Eddie. It's a cool $16,000.
That exact one that he wore or just one in that line?
One in that line. In the David August line, you can buy it's called the EFF U suit.
So I can get the suit.
Now, if you have $16,000, you could do that.
$16,000.
Now, speaking, Eddie, of $16,000, UFC tickets went on sale this week. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to get some, or not, sorry.
Oh, the
Mayweather-McGregor tickets went on sale this week. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll try to buy some tickets. That'd be great. I had a code to buy those tickets. I looked online. I went and I searched out tickets. I got two in my cart. Two tickets. Lower level, not floor. Lower level.
Ooh, lower level.
$16,000.
You better get up there on a nosebleed, son.
I did not buy any tickets to Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather.
You'd be divorced in a week.
I talked to my wife. I said, I don't think so. But you know what, today, Eddie? I looked actually today on Ticketmaster. There are a ton of tickets left.
Yeah.
Probably less than half, but all the most expensive seats and the cheapest seats. So the $10,000 seats, the $9,000 seats, the premium, $15,000 seats, those are all gone. It's those $3,000, $5,000 seats that are upper level to the sides that I have not sold yet.
Right. Like all the top nosebleed seats.
Well,
those
are $1,500 and $500. Yeah. Those seats are all gone.
Those are gone.
It's really interesting. I had this conversation with somebody last week, and it's tough when you are competing with the home viewing experience. Now that they're going to be actually in movie theaters and Fathom Events are going to be holding the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Yeah.
You're now competing with me where I can go eat popcorn and watch Conor McGregor. I can get my popcorn ready.
And you don't have to sweep it up.
And you don't have to sweep it up yourself.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It makes me nervous that this fight actually is not going to sell out, that maybe the interest is not there because people paid premium prices for Mayweather versus Pacquiao. I would have thought that this fight would have sold out earlier than it really has. This also does not look good for a secondhand market. If there are a ton of tickets available, if you bought these tickets thinking that you are going to resell them or do anything else with them, this is not a seller's market. There are a ton of tickets out there at face value. Now, also, Mayweather versus Pacquiao tickets, the day of and as we got closer to that fight, those tickets actually did start dropping. And they were available for less than face value to get there. So we'll see. Maybe they're going to lower those tickets.
How quickly did that one sell out?
I thought it sold out a lot faster than this. I'll be honest. Makes me nervous.
Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous that, maybe it won't be the highest gate of all
time. It is really a crap show.
Well, we don't know any
other fights. I know they did announce the co-main event, but but I can't remember his name.
Yeah, that sounds.
He's one of Mayweather's Mayweather Promotions guys.
Now, speaking of Mayweather Promotions guys, there's a fight this week.
There is the forgotten pay-per-view of the week. Adrian Broner versus Mikey Garcia on Showtime pay-per-view the same time as 214.
Yeah, not going to watch that.
I don't have Showtime.
No.
I'm not even going to DVR it.
I'm going to start Showtime, though. Gosh, I think I'm going to start it this week because the All Access 24/7 starts this week for Floyd and Connor.
You're going to buy it for that?
I will buy it for that. I think that's worth it for 1 month.
And while we're just talking about boxing, just because, I just want to say I put it out there. Victor Ortiz versus Saul Coral. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Sunday on FS1.
All right. So let's go back to McGregor, though. So this week. Now, did you see that picture of Draymond Green put out on his Instagram?
Yes. Connor walking in the Warriors jersey.
In a Warriors 23 jersey. And Draymond Green says, "Hey, brah, we rockin' Floyd. Take that off."
And Connor said.
Connor, you know, crushes him and says, "Hey, bro, not this. I don't know who you are, but this is a CJ Watson jersey. Stay in school. Keep hustling." And then he says, "Why would I be wearing a CJ Watson jersey? I don't like basketball."
Yeah. Go back and figure it out.
I dribble heads. I'm a fighter.
Yeah. It turns out CJ Watson is the guy that apparently slept with Floyd Mayweather.
Inception level. Like, it's like a dream within a dream right there.
That's getting into your head, man. You don't even have to say anything. You buy a cheap jersey of someone that no one remembers.
You don't even just buy a cheap jersey. You don't just buy.
No, you had to buy a Draymond Green jersey and take the nameplate off.
I mean, that's not how those nameplates are made, dude. They're like, each one is like embroidered. He had to go buy like a straight up just jersey. And I think I heard he had to get that like custom done. So he had been working on that for a while. Connor is so far, you know, into like this inception of how do you trash talk? How do you come like around all areas of a fight? It's amazing. Also, Mayweather, who's also trying to do that, trying to get Nate Diaz to walk out with him at the fight. I mean, Triple H has walked out with Floyd before.
Yeah.
There's lots of random people.
He had Bieber before.
Was that Pacquiao or was that Floyd?
No. Pacquiao had Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah.
And who had Burger King? That Floyd as well?
I don't even remember.
So, and then finally on our hype train, this is a big hype train today. Lots of cars. Yeah. Universal Pictures is releasing a movie called Notorious.
That's the one.
On Conor McGregor's rise, pretty much through UFC. Gosh, when was that? When he was 189? When he finally fought? Whatever it was, 189.
Is
I think
going
is the summer. Is Chad Mendes? No, I think it just goes through Aldo and the 13-second knockout. So,
but yeah, he's gone full Bieber.
Yeah. All right, so Eddie, let me give you.
Yeah, get me off this train.
Let me give you this. Let's go off the train. Let's get new fights. We already mentioned Luke Rockhold versus David Branch. That's happening at UFC Fight Night 116.
And apparently he took that fight because he couldn't get anyone else to fight. He wanted to fight then.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get a. Romero's apparently wanted a 3-round fight. Rockhold wanted him for 5.
Yeah.
You know, Weidman's not ready. No one else is ready. It's like, okay, I'll take Branch.
All right. Hector Lombard versus Anthony Smith on that fight card. Christoph Jotko versus Uriah Hall. I mentioned that Uriah Hall had a fight to be announced shortly last week.
Oh, yeah.
Lorenz Larkin versus Paul Daly. Why is Paul Daly not fighting against Michael Venom Page? Why is he fighting Lorenz Larkin? The only fight people care about for Paul Daly is Michael Venom Page. You got Will Brook versus Nick Lentz.
Saving it.
And then Rafael Dos Anjos versus Neil Magny at UFC 215. So Neil Magny is back. He is healthy. That's the fight to make. And Eddie, that is Take It or Leave It. All right, Eddie, three title fights are on the line this week in Anaheim as the UFC is on pay-per-view Saturday night at UFC 214. Tyron Woodley defends his UFC welterweight title against Damian Maia. Chris Cyborg goes up against Tonya Evinger for the women's featherweight title that was vacated by Jermaine De Randami.
Jermaine De MAA.
And then finally, in the main event, John Jones in a rematch of a rematch of a rematch of a rematch.
of an almost
finally,
match.
Finally, yeah, almost matches. Goes up against Daniel Cormier, who is now the UFC light heavyweight title. How excited are you, Eddie, for UFC 214?
Jordan, I don't really like you, so I'm not going to answer your question.
What? Unbelievable. Well, we heard John Jones say that in the UFC press conference today that led up to UFC 214. Now, Eddie, did you watch the press conference?
I did not.
Did you listen to the media call on Monday?
I did not. I saw them going at each other on UFC tonight.
Yeah.
They both seemed a little wound down and then wound right back up.
It's interesting, Eddie. Like, you would think like the UFC would do, because you feel bad for Tyron Woodley and Damian Maia and Cyborg and Evan Jordan. They got some more questions today at the press conference, but they got like no questions. Like barely any questions on the media call on Monday.
Yeah, and at least two of those people are interesting and good to talk to, being Woodley and Evinger. Evinger, maybe they don't want her talking too much. She's got a little, she's a little devil in her.
Oh, she's definitely interested, and people will like Tonya Evinger.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. You know, finally, Cowboy Cerrone is taking on Robbie Lawler. This fight was announced. Yes, exactly. Knock on wood. This fight was announced last year. I think it was for UFC, originally for 205.
And how quick did that fall apart?
It fell apart quickly. And then it got back on, and then it fell apart. And now it's finally back. Robbie Lawler hasn't fought since losing the title last, I think it was July 30th, against Tyron Woodley. He lost the title. He got knocked out by Tyron Woodley. He hasn't been back since. This fight was supposed to happen last month at UFC 213. Cerrone gets a blood infection.
Some of all the things he does.
Groin.
That's what takes him down?
Yeah, that's what took him down.
You think it'd be a broken arm, broken leg? Hell, knowing him, a broken neck.
I mean, I watched John Jones this week on Embedded, and he was like mountain biking in the rain with no helmet on. I'm like, come on. Wear a helmet.
Right?
Learn something from Ben Folks, right? Wear a helmet. But yeah, you got to think, if you're like, I mean, I told you last week I went mountain biking. Thank goodness I was wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
I got messed up.
Got to protect that hair.
I got to protect my back. I got crushed. I wish I was wearing a helmet everywhere. So, Eddie,
you
Cowboy Cerrone,
everywhere.
And then you've got Jimmy Manoa versus Volkan Ozdemir in the prelim, not prelim, the premier fight on the pay-per-view, the opening fight.
Oh, the
curtain jerker, so to say.
Yes.
Volkan Ozdemir coming off that win over whom? Mika Sirkunov.
Oh, there you go.
You have Jimmy Manoa coming off a win over who? Come on, bro. Corey Anderson.
Beast in
25-8, bro.
Oh, overtime.
Overtime now. Yeah, he is working overtime. That's a great way to start. And that's still the contingency plan in case something happens.
You've
still
right,
got, it is. I mean, that's why he's there.
Manoa's ready.
You've got Ricardo Lamas versus Jason Knight on the FX prelims. You got Aljamain Sterling versus Henan Barao, not at bantamweight. The California State Athletic Commission will not let it happen.
Was
at
it 140 or 138?
I actually don't know what the official weight is going to be.
Wikipedia says 140.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
But no, this is a pretty good card. I saw Ian McCall.
Pretty good? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. But Ian McCall ran a survey. What cards were better on paper? So I want you to pull up a couple fight cards, Eddie.
Just any?
UFC 200.
200.
205. 100. And 214. He did a survey to see which fight on paper was the best fight card.
Okay, got 205, 200.
100.
Oh, good
and
Lord,
214.
Man. That's a lot of scrolling.
It is a lot of scrolling.
You could have told me about that. 214. Oh, that's right there.
So if you think about 200. Now, it's interesting because there's two ways to look at it. You can either look at UFC 200, the original card that was on paper, that had John Jones on it. I think 200 is one of the best cards the UFC has ever put together.
Originally, yeah.
I think it's even better than 205. I think it's better than 100. And I think it's better than this card.
Really?
I do. 200, if you go back to 200. And if we go with the original. Now, I think what clouds people's minds is how the fight played out. On paper, you have Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt.
Yeah.
You had Jones versus Cormier.
Mm-hmm.
You had Nunes versus Tate.
Mm-hmm.
Aldo versus Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
Velasquez versus Brown. Remember, one of those fights wasn't good. Well, I guess those were the same fights that were on it. Then you had Pena versus Ngannou, Gasla versus Hendricks, Dillashaw versus Sunsell, Northcutt versus Marin, Lozon versus Diego Sanchez, Musasi versus Tejo Santos.
That's on the fight.
Jim Miller, Jim Miller versus Takanori Gomi.
Okay, one of those guys doesn't belong, Sage Northcutt.
Regardless, that's fine. You go to 205. McGregor Alvarez, great. Woodley, Stephen Thompson, that was a great fight. Again, on paper, Janjacek versus Kovalevich, Romero versus Weidman, Pennington versus Misha Tate. Great top five. Great five cards. Edgar versus Stevens, good. Nurmagomedov versus Johnson, good. And that's where it ends. Boach versus Hafa and Atal. Luque versus Bilal Muhammad. You got Jim Miller again on there. Thiago Alves. Liz Carmouche versus Caitlin Jakugan. I think 200 is a better card than 205. Overall, top to bottom.
I'll give you that.
214, you know, you have seven great fights. Then you get Ortega versus Renato Mochano, Andre Feely versus Calvin Kattar, Kaelin Kern versus... I'm not watching the fight pass. I'm interested in the top two FXX cards. I think 200... And 200 was last on the survey. I think people forget how good 200 was.
That's in their mind...
How it played out.
Yeah.
Brock was boring.
And the thing is, that fight wasn't boring because it was so tense.
Yeah.
Because in 1 second, Mark Hunt can knock your block off.
Even the fight card, you know, as it was, still a very, very good card. Even without Jones and with Cormier versus Anderson Silva on paper.
Yeah, on paper.
That's still a better card, I believe, than 214 all the way down. Top five fights.
You know what? I got to agree with you.
So anyways.
You made good points there, young man.
Well, I've been thinking about it. I was fired up. I sit there, I look at Twitter, I get fired up over Twitter sometimes, Eddie.
What do you do at work?
No, you don't see me get fired up over many things. All right, so except Aljamain Sterling
shirts.
Versus Henan Barao. That is that's a fun fight, man. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, haven't seen Barao in a little while. Hopefully, with the catchweight, he can perform more to his actual abilities. Cutting down to 135 was apparently really whooping his butt. But with that said, he was the interim 135 champ. And then the full-on 135 champ once Cruz got injured again. So it's not like he was doing bad at 135. It just got harder and harder for him to make the weight.
Yeah. You know, this is a big fight for him. He's coming off of loss. Well, Henan Barao, he beat Philippe Nover before. And then before that, he lost to Jeremy Stevens. He lost to TJ Dillashaw. Aljamain Sterling, he only has one win. Augusto Mendez. Before that, he had losses to Rafael Assuncao and Brian Caraway. These are both big fights for people trying to make an impact in this division. Obviously, Aljamain Sterling wants to make an impact in the 135 division. Henan Barao wants to make an impact in the 140-pound division. So,
wasn't Barao going to come back down to 135?
Yeah, that's what he was trying to do, obviously.
Yeah,
I was making a joke.
Oh, that was a joke.
A joke.
Man.
I got to tell you when I make jokes now?
Yeah, if they're going to be that bad, yeah.
Okay. All right, and then you've got Ricardo Lamas versus Jason Knight.
That's an interesting fight.
It is interesting. It's not a bad fight either.
Knight is scrappy and fun to watch, and he is surprisingly good at on the ground.
Yeah, he's got four wins in a row. He's got a win over Chad Skelly, Alex Caceres, Dan Hooker, and then Jim Ehlers.
He's one of those guys that you look at him, you don't think much, but then by the time that fight's over, your mind has changed. But this is a big step up for him.
Obviously,
Lamas number three.
You know, Lamas is a big step up for him. You know, Lamas has losses to Max Holloway, Chad Mendez, Jose Aldo.
No one to sneeze at.
Those are the people that he lost to since 2010.
Yeah.
Before that, he has losses to Yuri Alcantara and Danny Castillo. But
still not
Ricardo
bad.
Lamas has still really come out on his own and improved. So that's a big fight.
Yeah.
Number three. Jason Knight ranked 15th. Obviously, that would make a big impact.
Huge.
If he's able to get a win like that.
And this is a pretty pretty quick turnaround for him. He fought at 211 in Dallas.
Yeah. Brian Ortega, he's got great submission moves. This is not a bad fight card, but it's a wonderful, wonderful
main card.
Main card.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think I heard someone this week talk about UFC 215. And, you know, some fans were talking about, oh, man, this card is stacked. 215 is so good. There's two title fights on it. And you're like, well, I mean, just because you say title fight doesn't mean, like, it's great.
How quickly did you poo-poo all over their argument?
I didn't. Some other people did already. But Dos Santos versus Ngannou, that's a good fight.
Yeah.
Stevens versus Gilbert Melendez. Cejudo versus Wilson Heiss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not the, you know, Neil Magny versus Rafael Dos Anjos. It's not a terrible fight card, but it's not like the...
Why are you leaving off the title fights?
Well, I knew that those are on
because
there
because you want to leave them.
No, that's fine. Demetrius Johnson and Ray Borg, Amanda Nunes versus Valentina Shevchenko. It's fine. It's not a bad card.
No,
but it's not like a stacked card.
No, and I don't know how it's going to sell.
It's not.
I don't know how the UFC is going to promote it. They're not.
Yeah.
You wonder if Dana White wants to prove his point about Demetrius Johnson so much that they won't promote this card. He's also still upset with Amanda Nunes for, you know, getting sick.
Yeah, that happens. People get sick.
Yeah. So, and Dana White is well known for throwing his fighters under a bus.
Yeah.
He doesn't care that it costs the company money.
All right, so let's jump in. We spent a lot of time already talking, but I do want to talk about Damian Maia versus Tyron Woodley and Chris Cyborg versus Tony Evinger.
Yes.
We talked a couple weeks ago, just real quick. Cerrone versus Lawler. Same thing we said. Gaethje versus Johnson. Hashtag violence.
Yes.
Cerrone versus Lawler. Hopefully.
Hashtag brain damage.
Hashtag hopefully violence.
Hashtag crimson mask.
Sometimes when people engage with Cerrone, he doesn't fight as well, and he doesn't, and he loses those fights. You know, hence, you know, you saw that loss to Sanjos. The loss to Masvidal, the loss to Nate Diaz.
Mm.
It's when you engage Cerrone and you come in, that's when he struggles. So,
which is surprising.
Lawler is going to engage.
Oh, he's
hopefully that
engage.
Turns out to be violence, though. So, Cyborg versus Tonya Evinger. Obviously, there is a weight disparity. You have the 135 Invicta Bantamweight champion coming off her win and then her no contest. You have the 145-pound Invicta champion until she vacated
Emeritus.
Her belt and Megan Anderson had it, yeah. This is a super fight for Invicta, but it's a great way to get Tonya Evinger into the UFC. And I hope she looks good.
No, it really is.
Because I feel bad that if she gets knocked out early, you're not going to really see what Tonya Evinger can do. And I tell you all the time, I'm not the biggest Invicta fan. So I haven't seen it. I have not seen more than kind of highlights of Tonya Evinger.
Same here.
But I know that she can fight and I know that she is, she's a brawler. And she likes to fight.
Yeah, but the problem is she's fought as high as 140. You know, I'm pretty sure there's a 145 fight in there somewhere, but she is not a featherweight. Now, truth be told, Cyborg's not a featherweight either. She's a lightweight. But she just gets down to featherweight. So this is like a two-weight division difference. And you'll be able to see it when they face off.
Yeah, this should be interesting. I hope that this is a good fight. And hopefully this is a good moment for Chris Cyborg.
Yeah. Now, that said, Tonya Evinger is a great wrestler.
Yep. And
she could get Cyborg down, and we can find out exactly how
good
her jiu-jitsu
is. I hope she gets a chance after this to really get a, to see more of her just beyond this event to fight Cyborg.
Yeah, there's got to be a few more fights on her contract.
I think for Cyborg, I want to see, and I hope that I want to see her realize that, that championship glory
right.
in the UFC. She's been a top women's fighter for so long. That belt has eluded her. A UFC title. The UFC has not treated her the best.
No,
and Dana White
not.
Has admitted that. And the UFC's admitted that. You know, you want kind of good things for her, especially because she hasn't tested positive for so long. So you're not like, you can't say that she's a cheat these
right.
days. For the most part, she is a person that feels that she's been bullied and she's overcoming a lot of those challenges and the people that she's turning heads of the people that have been bullied her.
And it seems like the UFC has finally decided, how about we just shut up and make some money off of her? She's already headlining events in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
She's co-headlining and headlining events here in America. You put a title on her, maybe things get even bigger. And then they say, why are we being such idiots? Give her some money. We'll make a lot of money. That's the way it's supposed to work. Stop making fun of people.
Yeah. All right. So Cyborg, she looks like she should be able to get the victory, get it easily. But good luck. Both of them. Hopefully, Tonya Evinger looks good.
I want to see a second round. That's all I'm saying. Evinger, she's a better matchup, like stylistically, than Megan Anderson was, though Megan was bigger. But hopefully, Evinger's got the experience and the know-how to at least get this into the second round.
All right. So if we go to the co-main event of the evening, you look back at Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maia. You look at their records. Tyron Woodley has that draw to Stephen Thompson at UFC 205. Beyond that, you go back 10 fights. The only two losses for Tyron Woodley, Rory McDonald and Jake Shields. If you look at Damian Maia's record, you go back to the last 10 fights. The only two losses, Rory McDonald and Jake Shields. The same two fighters.
In a row.
Since then, Damian Maia has beat Alexander Yakolev, Ryan LaFlair, Neil Magny, Gunnar Nelson, Matt Brown, Carlos Condit, Jorge Masvidal. Tyron Woodley has wins.
Not a bad run.
Over Josh Koscheck, Carlos Condit, Donghun Kim, Kelvin Gastelum, Robbie Lawler, Stephen Thompson.
Those are some pretty good resumes.
Both of them look very good. Now, you're going to tell me that, hey, Damian Maia, he does not have a chance. Tyron Woodley is a terrible matchup for him, which he is. But we also thought that Carlos Condit was a bad matchup for him, that Jorge Masvidal was a bad matchup for him.
No, I didn't think I didn't think those were nearly as bad matchups because they don't have the wrestling pedigree that Woodley has. But I'm going to tell you that this fight has the potential to be boring as hell.
We said that about Thompson and Woodley too, as well.
And it was.
It was.
Yeah, but because it's the same thing. You have to be careful with Maia. You get the least bit off balance, he's going to grab a leg, find some way to grab hold of you and drag you down. It doesn't matter if he's on top or on bottom. He just wants it to be on the ground. Yeah. So Willie's going to have to stay under control when he's swinging the haymakers and probably keep away from the kicks.
Sometimes, yeah, I agree. So Tyron Woodley has been going off on Maia or anybody saying that this is unfair for Maia because he didn't have enough time to get ready for this. He felt like, you know, people are giving Maia an excuse already because they only gave him about 5 weeks to prepare for this fight.
Only 5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, a typical training camp is 8 to 12 weeks. So.
Yeah, but like it's...
Maia just fought Masvidal not too long ago.
He did.
Back at UFC 211 in May.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It is a quick turnaround,
we
but...
We knew that before that fight, Tyron Woodley saying he's already getting into training camp.
He wanted to fight in July. Opponent. He didn't care who it was. He wanted to fight in July.
Yeah, of course he wanted to fight in July. And I'm just tired of like people like beating around the bush. I want Tyron Woodley just to come out and say, yeah, I wanted to fight in July because I wanted to fight with Jon Jones. I wanted to get paid.
I think he did.
No, he never said that. He's like, that's the fight that makes sense for me for my timeline and this and that.
Yeah, he wanted to be on the big card. Yeah.
No, yeah, of course he wants to be on the big card. He wants to get paid. He got paid last year in November. Just like when Joanna Jędrzejczyk says, yeah. I want to fight at MSG. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, of course, because you know there's going to be a big card there and you want to get a payday.
Well, that's what they're there for.
I get it.
Owens, they're prize fighters.
I get it, but it's so like,
you're not getting your brain
it just
kicked
seems
in for nothing.
So transparent. And like, don't give like,
I don't think they're trying to hide it.
Well, he keeps like trying to push down like, I had just the same amount of time. No, you're going for the payday. Like, it doesn't matter who you're fighting. You don't care. You wanted to fight on that day because you want to get that payday. And you're trying to make Damian Maia feel like, oh no, he had just about as much time because if he wants to fight me, he'll fight me at this time. Well, no, it's not because you wanted to be ready so you could have another fight late in the year. It's because you wanted to get paid. And I totally get it. But let's get Tyron Woodley to have his own, you know, show. Headline his own pay-per-view. He did that last year against Robbie Lawler. He doesn't need to ride the coattails of Jon Jones or Conor McGregor.
I understand what you're saying, but if it's there, you take it.
Yeah, of course you're going to take it.
Oh,
but don't give, you know, Damian Maia like this hard time for saying, oh, I've got a short time, when he doesn't get anything near what Tyron Woodley gets out of it.
Well, the thing is, that's true. He doesn't get as much.
Anything. He doesn't get anything on the pay-per-views.
But it's not like he has to change. He has to worry about a game plan. He's going to do the same thing no matter who he fights. He's going to do his damnedest to get the fight to the ground. That's all he's going to do. Now, whether or not he had 8 weeks to figure out how to get it to the ground or 4 weeks, that's all he's going to do is get it to the ground. Damian Maia is going to be Damian Maia no matter what. And that's where I see it's not like some big disadvantage.
Yeah, well, if you look at Damian Maia, we know what he's going to do. He does the same thing every fight.
Exactly.
And people can't stop him.
Exactly.
So hopefully, you know, hopefully it's a competitive fight.
He's like, this is what I do. This is what I'm the best in the world at. Stop me. So it doesn't matter who he fights.
We will find out.
Yeah. Now, Woodley is a much better wrestler than Maia's fought. I think he has like the highest takedown defense in UFC history, like 95 something. So, yeah, it's going to be a compelling matchup, but it could also be really boring. Damian Maia is known for flopping sometimes when he doesn't want to stand with someone. He did against Anderson Silva. So it has the potential to be a stinker, or he could get knocked out. It's like the one thing we know is probably not going to happen is Maya knocking out Woodley.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something. Yeah.
So that's a good look.
It is. And now, it's the fight we've all been waiting for.
All right. After this.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate
Eddie, last
yourself
season
from mental
of The Ultimate Fighter was aptly named Redemption. It gave a chance for a former UFC fighter or UFC tough alumni to get the chance to earn their way back to the UFC. This Saturday night in Anaheim, John Jones looks for his chance at redemption. After stepping into the octagon after 15 months, Eddie, being away from the cage in 2 years after being stripped from that UFC light heavyweight title. Now, standing in his way is the current light heavyweight champion and the only rematch that John Jones will have to date, Daniel Cormier. Eddie, we are now, gosh, I mean, this happened on Wednesday of fight week last year at UFC 200.
Right.
But we are, as of right now, I'm looking on Twitter, I don't see anything yet. We are just 3 days away from seeing these two go at it. How excited are you?
Well, you know, first I thought you were going to bring up Saturday's Professional Fighters League in Everett, Washington. You know, set your DVRs, people. It's the return of Yushin Okami and Jake Shields, former World Series featherweight champion Andre Harrison. Not excited about that? They need some redemption, too.
Yeah, I mean, everyone else needs some redemption. You're not fighting the UFC. So, but that's not going to be the place to get it. So, John Jones is finally on his road to, hopefully for him, getting back
redemption.
His UFC light heavyweight title.
Right.
Daniel Cormier also wants to redeem himself from that loss that he has, the only loss of his career. I believe it was at UFC 182.
Correct.
John Jones arguably won all five rounds.
I think I gave him 4-1.
John Jones was able to take down Daniel Cormier.
A couple of times, yeah.
He was able to defend takedowns. Daniel Cormier talks about how big he felt and how strong John Jones felt.
And that was before John Jones got into powerlifting.
Well, he's cut back from that since he's getting ready for this fight.
Right.
Both guys look on shape, on weight, ready to go in this fight. They don't like each other.
No.
That interview last week with Jones and Cormier on the Fox show.
Oof. Pretty much any interview with those two right now, it just goes off the rails. And as much as I... maybe it's the Mayweather-McGregor thing. I'm just over all the trash talking. I don't need 50 interviews for this. I know it's for other people.
Does it hype you up? Do you think it sells more?
It does.
Okay.
If it hadn't been proven to sell more, they wouldn't keep doing as much. But yeah,
As a first glance, what do you think this fight does on pay-per-view? Their last fight did about 800,000 buys, according to Dave Meltzer. Would you say this is higher or lower than the first fight?
I'm going to say higher.
Do you think the fact that 213 was so low, that plays an impact on people save their money to spend on this one?
Quite possibly.
Okay.
Also, the addition of Cyborg, because like or not, people are interested.
How about the fact that you have to people in less than a month from, you know, this Saturday night are going to have to shell out $100 to watch McGregor and Mayweather?
I think that will be much more of a sports bar show.
That going to have an effect on the pay-per-view number
as well?
It's
possible, but that's why the UFC isn't doing anything closer to that fight than a month. So I don't think it'll affect it that much. I think there's enough space. But then again, I'm also not putting it on my cable bill.
Yeah.
So.
No, John Jones, it's interesting, you know, they asked him about ring rust, and it kind of looked like he had some ring rust when he fought Ovin St. Preux.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to have ring rust against a guy that you've never fought before, but he's fought Daniel Cormier before. He knows how to beat him. And so That's one thing that he has going for him when it comes to, hey, why didn't you take a warm-up fight before you fought Daniel Cormier? It's because I've already fought him before. I know kind of what I'm getting into.
True.
Daniel Cormier, he wants this fight. He needs this fight in order for him to feel kind of complete on his career. People will always look at his title reign as, you know, because Jon Jones wasn't there.
So who do you think needs redemption more, Jon Jones or Daniel Cormier?
You know, I think Jon Jones, I hope this is a redemption or redemptive experience for Jon Jones. I don't like the tweet when Jon Jones says, after this fight, I'm going to turn it up all the way up and I'm going to go party somewhere where TMZ cameras aren't.
I hope that was just a joke.
I don't like that. I hope that's a joke.
Yeah.
Because I want Jon Jones. People love a redemption story. And I want to see Jon Jones get his life together.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he has. But I also, you know, I don't think that in interviews and other ways that Jon talks, he doesn't think that, you know, it may not be bad. You know, he doesn't think that what he did was wrong. Obviously the hit and run stuff and you know, getting, you know, partying and doing, you know, drugs before fights.
Right.
That's wrong. I think he thinks that's not right. I hope that's what he thinks. You know, the last issue that he had, you know, that's for him and his wife or, you know, whoever they need to, you know.
That's the question. Who was it for? Right,
that's not our place to question that or ask that. But that's, you know, I can't say he should feel bad about that because we don't know what's going on over there. Although Daniel Cormier, he's been on the field day with that one.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny, Daniel Cormier talks so much about how Jon Jones was, quote-unquote, two-faced. Cormier is kind of the same way. He's exactly what he's saying Jones was. He comes off as such a nice family guy, and then he's such a crap talker, you know, all the time. Now he's just like, let the curtains down. And they even said of the cast of UFC Tonight said, you guys finally get to see the DC that we see behind the scenes. You know, before it was like he was just putting on he was on his best behavior. And now he just said, forget it. If everyone loves Jon Jones for being who he is, I can just be who I am.
Yeah, I don't think that Cormier needs the redemption as much as Jon Jones needs the redemption.
It's funny. I think they need it in different ways.
Yeah.
Jon Jones needs it in life.
Mm-hmm.
Cormier needs it sport-wise.
Exactly. And that's why I don't think it's as important, because it's not life. Cormier, at the end of the day, if he loses to Jon Jones again, he's going to have to be at peace with the fact that he did his best and he couldn't beat Jon Jones.
Right.
But he has to be very proud of his accomplishments, and he has to be proud of, you know, that he was a title holder, that he did make a lot of money, that he did defend his title, that he's got these belts at home.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
That's going to keep you at peace. He's, you know, undefeated at heavyweight. He could actually go back and fight at heavyweight.
Yeah.
Jon Jones is, you're right. He needs redemption that this is a chance for him to show that Jon Jones has screwed up a lot of things. And this is a way for him to get back what was his before all that happened and get back on track. So there are two different redemption stories. But one is a story for Daniel Cormier that can can be moved on from and be at peace with. Jon Jones, if he loses this, that could be another bad spiral for him.
Yeah, let's hope not. But he's still got so much time left in his career that he'll easily come back from this. But who knows how it's going to affect him mentally. Yeah. But if that happens, rubber match.
Yeah, no, that would be great. If I was Daniel Cormier, I would just retire. I would beat Jon Jones and I would retire. You don't need to prove anything else. You beat him. He was gone. You could just say you're better than him, and I'd move on. You have a whole life of commentary.
Not a bad move. Yeah. Getting punched in the head does suck.
Yeah. So, but I'm excited, man. UFC 214 is excited. I remember where I was the week of UFC 200 when I heard that Jon Jones was not fighting. I think I texted you.
I think you told me.
I think I told you.
Because I was at work, and I see a text message come across on my desk. It was like,
I was in Utah.
You ruined my day.
And my dad, it was late at night, so I don't think you're at work. But I was in Utah.
Oh,
my dad came in and told me, hey, what's that fight you're going to go see this weekend? What? And, that's the fight that's not on anymore. So, and I remember because I did a post-UFC or post-fight night show by myself. So
I remember that.
All right, man. Well, let's make picks. I think there's a lot of talk about the fights.
Speaking of redemption, who won last week?
Oh, you got redemption. Did you need that redemption? Is that something you needed for
just,
your life?
You know, you like to not mention it when you lose. And I was just saying, you know.
You won, I mean, kind of the worst way possible. You won on Sami Zayn. So.
That is. No, the worst way possible is Sami Zayn, then Seth Rollins. So that's kind of together for me.
All right, Eddie. So let's start at the bottom. Jason Knight versus Ricardo Lamas. Jason Knight ranked 15th. Ricardo Lamas ranked 3rd.
You know, Jason Knight's really good. This is a big step up for him.
It is a big step up.
So I'm going to go with Lamas.
I'm also going to go with Lamas. All right, so this is where I think we might differ. Aljamain Sterling needs this win. Henan Brow trying to come back. Henan Brow is a proven killer.
He is.
Aljamain Sterling hasn't proved that yet.
That's true.
And so that's why I'm going to go with Henan Brow, that this he doesn't have to cut as much weight, so we don't have to worry about him going to the hospital this week. He's on his way back down. He knows that he can come in a little bit heavy. So I'm going to go with Henan Brow.
Well, you know who else doesn't have to cut as much weight? Aljamain Sterling.
That's true, but Aljamain Sterling doesn't want to fight at 145. I've never wanted to fight at 145. He wants to fight at 135.
True. So he should feel better than he normally does.
Yeah.
Well, Brow should still feel kind of crappy. Okay. And I picked Aljamain Sterling a year ago to be the bantamweight champ,
it's
so
true.
I'm going to try and I got to kind of stick with that.
That's true. You are all aboard.
Yeah, I was aboard too quickly. That hype train.
All right. Jimmy Manoa versus Volkan Ozdemir.
I think we're both going with the Manowar.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Manoa.
Now, what happens if he has to step in to the title fight?
Gosh, it's
just
crying
all
and
bets
sadness.
Are off then, because he could easily win that with one punch against either guy, and then the whole world upside down.
I think I would take Cormier over Jimmy Manoa.
You would, but what if he catches him coming in with a left?
But I would. I mean, if we were making picks, that's what I would do.
Yeah, but wouldn't the world just turn completely inside out? All of a sudden, Jimmy Manoa wins the light heavyweight title.
No, it wouldn't.
It would.
All right, Cowboy Cerrone versus Robbie Lawler.
Oh, man.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one, but to me, it's just Cerrone has such a habit of starting slow that I got to go with Lawler.
I'm also going to stick with Lawler on this one. I hope it's a great fight, and I hope that I'd love to see these guys go all three rounds of just pure violence. I'd like to see Carlos Condit versus Robbie Lawler reenacted.
Man, wouldn't that be great?
So that's something I'd look for. All right, Chris Cyborg versus Tonya Evinger.
Love you, Tonya, but you're just too small.
All right. Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maya.
Is Tyron Woodley ready for the backpack? He says he's prepared for it. I'm going to say he's too fast, too good at takedown defense. Woodley retains and still.
Yeah, there's really no reason why Damian Maya should win this, but I'm going to go with him.
But he does that.
Yeah, you know? That's why.
That's the scary part.
All right, finally. I think he can neutralize him. He can ride him like a backpack. He's gonna get it. He's gonna shoot. He's gonna be able to get him on the ground.
And I think he might get him down once.
Something's gonna happen.
But that'll be about it.
And then he's gonna do what he did to Carlos Condit.
Well, but he couldn't submit Jorge Masvidal.
That's true.
So who knows?
All right, Daniel Cormier. First off, I want you to say, who do you want to win in your heart?
I want John Jones to win because I'm just a fan of greatness. I want to see how high his ceiling actually gets. That's what I want to see. We know Cormier, this is about as good as he's going to be. John Jones, there's so much more in front of him. I want to see exactly how high it goes.
Okay.
Now, is he a crappy person sometimes? Yeah. Now, Cormier can be crappy, but it's a completely different kind of crappy, you know? But
yeah,
I think he's learned, I hope.
Gosh, this is tough. I've had good experience. I mean, this is tough because I've had good experience with both guys.
Mm-hmm.
You want John to win because you want to see him get his life on track, and I hope that it does get back on track.
Right. I hope this is what
he's a father.
He
he's a husband.
But yeah.
And I hope that I could see that it spirals out more. Daniel Cormier, obviously, you know, that's a big win. That loss weighed heavily on him before.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, either way, I'm going to go with John Jones. I'm picking John Jones to win this fight.
Come on, man.
Is the greatest fighter of all time. And
second.
He is the greatest fighter of all time. And he should be able to figure out what he did last time and do it again.
So what you're telling me is our only differences
are
Woodley Maya and Sterling Brown?
Yeah, and I
do
worry,
we need a third one?
No, because I feel like we're going to go 1-1 there.
Yeah.
You want to pick? I'm not going to tell you which one.
You want to pick like Berkman Dober or?
Nope.
Andre Feely against somebody.
I'll take Broner.
Oh. No, no.
Sorry, that's it.
I would take Broner.
All right, no. I'll take Ortiz.
Let's go PFL.
Oh, okay, I got Ortiz.
I said PFL.
What's the other one called?
A Professional Fighters League?
Yeah, no, what's the...
the other fight?
Yeah.
It was Ortiz and Corral.
But on what? It's like PS...
Oh, it's on FS1.
That's like Premier Boxing.
Oh, Premier Boxing Champion, yeah, PBC.
I'll take Ortiz.
You're just such a front runner. No.
Right, give me the PFL fights.
Man, I just closed it. Hold that thought. It's a...
I'll take Jake Shields.
Are you ever picking underdog?
In the PFL?
Do you ever? Andre Harrison versus Steven Rodriguez?
Don't know any of them.
Yushin Okami versus Andre Luis Leal Lobato?
Okay, I'll take Okami.
Okay, quit. How about Jared Rochelt versus Nick Rusborough?
Okay, I'll take Jared Rochelt.
Good lord, man. How about Del Soapy versus Jared Torgerson?
No. Oh. All right, how about Berkman or Dober? Who you got?
Berkman.
Okay, I'll take Dober.
All right. I got Berkman. For the tiebreaker. Look at that.
I don't like that.
We had to go deep, man. What in the world is playing on my computer?
Unbelievable. What are you watching over there?
I don't know, man. It was MMA Junkie.
All right, Eddie. Well, that's the show. That's UFC 214. I'm excited, man. We will be at third base up in Austin, Texas. North Austin.
Almost Cedar Park.
Yeah, watching the fights. It's going to be a good one.
If you see us, come say hi. Yeah.
Tell your friends. Follow us on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Snapchat, Fight Night ATX.
You're gonna have to snap from third base.
I'm going to snap. You just snap my socks?
Oh, give me your phone.
Okay. All right, man. Well, hey, we will have a full recap of this next week as we look forward to what's next. Have a good night.
Yeah, tell your friends and subscribe.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.